This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. Voters across New Hampshire gathered this week for the start of town meeting season. Joining us now to talk about the state's historic tradition is the Boston Globe's Amanda Gokey. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for the time. This is an important time for towns across New Hampshire. How did the tradition of town meeting first come about?
The state archivist dates this tradition back to 1633. It originated in Dorchester, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire started holding town meetings shortly after that. The meetings were typically held in March because it was a quiet time of year for farmers, since it was too early to start planting seeds. Men would gather at these meetings to resolve land disputes and establish property boundaries.
And I was reading your article about the origins of town meeting this week. Very interesting. I found it very interesting about town pounds. You've got those stone foundations you see in various towns around New Hampshire. And I guess they would actually elect people at town meeting to take care of wayward animals and put them in the town pound?
That's right. So there were two positions like this that I highlighted in my reporting, and that was pound keepers, as you mentioned. So they would sort of keep track of wayward livestock if they got free, and they would watch over them in an enclosure. So hence like a pound, we think of dog pounds today, but it would be for other sort of barnyard animals that would be much more common back then. And they would charge the animals owners a fee to get them out. And then there were also hog reeves, which is another one of these sort of now looking back quirky seeming positions, and those were actually charged with wrangling unruly pigs.
Never know what you might need in a town. But anyway, how has town meeting evolved over the years? Obviously, we don't have those positions anymore.
So in some ways, it has changed a lot. You know, those two positions are good examples of things that seem quite antiquated now. I did find out that Dunbarton actually still nominates a town hog reeve. They did that this year, and throughout at least 2023, Hampton Falls gave out an annual award for these positions. So, you know, it's mostly in name only and a sort of award, but it is a quirk that some of these towns have continued. You know, we do have the sort of through line that town meeting is still mostly held in March. You know, that's our sort of big kickoff for this season. Some towns do now schedule them for April or May. We don't have those same constraints of an agrarian society that we did back in the day. And there are still town meetings that follow the traditional model where everyone gathers in person to deliberate and vote publicly. And we now also have towns that follow what's called the official ballot referendum system. Mm-hmm. As it was outlined in Senate Bill 2. So you'll often just hear of those towns called SB 2 towns. They, you know, will have a discussion session and then vote at a later date, often by an official secret ballot.
And of course, we talk about town budgets and school funding and things like that at town meeting. Are there any particular issues this town meeting season that have caught your attention, Amanda?
Yeah, so I learned that there was an effort backed by a group called the New Hampshire Patriot Hub, and they were organizing to try to get towns to ban voting machines. So in order to do that, they had to get at least 25 local residents to sign a petition so they could put forward a warrant article and have that brought up for a vote during the town meeting. And they targeted about 55 towns and were successful in getting this forward in at least 22 towns around the state.
Well, tell us more about that group and their agenda. Does it have any ties to national organizations, or is this a grassroots organization in New Hampshire?
So the New Hampshire Patriot Hub is a conservative, faith-oriented group. They focus on things like liberty and the Constitution. They, you know, have billed their efforts as bipartisan, but a fair amount of, you know, what their members are talking and posting about involves things like support for Donald Trump. They, you know, have promoted an event called J6, It Could Happen to You, to show support for those who were charged and imprisoned related to the January 6th 2021 attack on the Capitol, just to give you a little flavor of what they're talking about. And election integrity is one of the issues that they're active on. They, you know, insist that hand counting is more transparent and accurate, even though research shows the opposite is true. They are calling their efforts grassroots. They do have some support from Mike Lindell. He is the CEO of a company called MyPillow, and you may have heard of him. He's, you know, one of the prominent promoters of false claims that the 2020 election was stolen.
Now, voting rights groups are opposing this effort to ban voting machines, as you've reported. How could a ban compromise the elections process here in New Hampshire?
So voting machines have become the target of a lot of conspiracy theories, especially since the 2020 election, and like that they're being used to rig elections, which is not true. There's no evidence to back up those claims. The research actually shows that voting machines are more accurate than hand counting. Just because hand counting can introduce human error, it's a repetitive task, and people just make honest mistakes. You know, plus there's the question of getting enough people to volunteer to count votes. Some of the town clerks I spoke to said they weren't sure that they could continually recruit the number of people that they would need to do that. And, you know, it takes a lot more time to count by hand than to have a machine automatically tally votes.
Okay, so you said they've targeted dozens of communities here in New Hampshire. How many towns are considering these bans this particular town meeting season, and how have any voted in favor so far?
So just to give you a picture, there's 221 towns statewide, 13 cities in the state. Of them, you know, we've been able to find that there's at least 22 towns that are considering a ban. And in addition to that, there's one town, which is the town of Danville, that did vote in support of a hand count for the presidential election. But that language didn't rule out using a machine for other elections. So it's slightly different wording there. And in many of the other towns, the measure failed by a wide margin.
Amanda Gokey is a reporter for the Boston Globe. Amanda, thank you so much for the time this morning.
Thank you, Rick.
You can find more of Amanda's work at bostonglobe.com/NH. Now, Governor Chris Sununu has signed a bill into law that could give Granite Staters more control over what happens to their data. New Hampshire Bulletin's Ethan DeWitt has been following this effort, and he joins us now. Welcome, Ethan.
Glad to be here.
Ethan, first, I want to ask you why people might want to know what's happening with their data. Why is this so important?
Yeah, so we're living in a time when there are increasingly more opportunities for you to give data to companies, whether they're big multinational companies or smaller companies. And there's also increasing opportunities for that data to be breached. So, for example, in 2021, the T-Mobile, the carrier, contacted 116,000 Granite Staters to tell them that their names, date of birth, social security numbers, driver's license information had been the subject of a data breach. People's information is being held by companies, and when that data is breached, there's not much that can be done in terms of recourse. Typically there's free credit monitoring that is implemented. There's identity theft protection software, but once that data is out there, it is very difficult to get it back. And what's interesting is that nationally, there is no law right now that standardizes how companies should hold onto your data. There have been efforts in Congress to try to get a national law, and they have been unsuccessful. And so what we have is a patchwork of laws among different states, some of them more aggressive and some not aggressive. And New Hampshire has had, up until this law was signed, no obligation among companies to responsibly store or maintain data collected. And so what you get is companies will adopt policies on their own. If they're big multinational companies or national companies, they may already have robust data protection services. But if they're smaller companies or local companies, they may not. And for New Hampshire consumers, that can mean that they may not have control over the data that they have given maybe one time. They may not have an easy way to either remove the data, change the data, or protect it.
So how could this law empower consumers here in New Hampshire? What does it do?
Sure. So this law gives New Hampshire consumers a number of rights over their data. So one of the most basic rights is access to data. You can go to a company that is subject to this law and request that they provide all the information that they have collected on you. And then you can request a copy of it in a portable format. Then you can ask to amend the data if something is changed or wrong. You can ask to delete the data, and you can ask the company to opt out of further data collection on you. And you can also request that the company no longer uses the data for advertising and any other sort of automated decisions. And this is where AI comes involved. As we've seen, artificial intelligence increasing its use, there are also increasing concerns that companies might pass that data on, people's personal data, to be used to make automated decisions. And under this new state law, you can go to a company and request that that company no longer do that.
Okay, you say you can ask. What happens if you don't get a response from that business? If they're collecting your data and you ask for it and you don't get a response from that company, what can you do? What's your recourse?
Yeah, so under the law, businesses have 45 days to respond to a request by a consumer. Now they can extend that deadline by another 45 days if they find it reasonably necessary. But there is some pressure for them to have a response. The law does include some power by the New Hampshire Attorney General's office to bring legal action against them if they think it's if they think the company is violating the statute. And so if you are a consumer and you feel that the company has not responded, there is also a requirement in this law that businesses have to create an appeals process internally that consumers can use so that if there might be an initial decision that a business might make to say that we're not going to provide this data or we're not going to delete this data, the consumer can appeal internally within the business. And that would be a 60-day appeal process. But again, the New Hampshire Attorney General's office will have a role here. And consumers who feel that they are not, that they have, the company has not been responsive, can go to the Attorney General's office. And that office can initiate legal action on if it comes to that.
Ethan, I'm wondering about the effects of a small state like New Hampshire having this kind of law, what that the effect it has on a multinational corporation, you know, a Meta, an X, that kind of a thing. How does that affect? How does that affect the company? I mean, if they have individual a patchwork of rules around the country, how does that company deal with this?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Those companies are actually, many of them are pushing for these state laws. They've been pushing for a federal law too. And again, it's been kind of caught up in some partisanship and gridlock. But there were representatives of Microsoft and other major companies who came to the New Hampshire State House last year to argue in favor of having this law. If you are a multinational or a national company, you want to have predictable standards. And you also want to make sure that other companies are playing by the same rules. And so I think that there is incentive, obviously not among every company, but there's incentive among some of these major tech companies to have something that is predictable. And what has happened, as I mentioned in the beginning, is a lot of these companies have implemented their own policies that allow for data retrieval. But when you don't have it attached to a law, either a federal law or a state law, it's just a matter of kind of going to the company and, you know, maybe looking to their customer support and asking. And so even if a company has very good practices to allow a consumer to remove data, having a law kind of standardizes it and makes it so that, you know, everybody kind of knows it and expects it. And I think the argument that proponents of this law have made is that nobody really does have an expectation of that, at least in New Hampshire. And you wouldn't have a standardized way to do it.
Yeah, well, everyone wants some predictability. I think we'll have to leave it there. Ethan DeWitt, a reporter for the New Hampshire Bulletin, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You can find more of his work at NewHampshireBulletin.com. I'm Rick Ganley. This is Morning Edition here on NHPR.